Welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. There is so much noise on the interweb these days about what women should and shouldn't be doing when it comes to their fitness and health. Not only is it all too often tied to shame and fixing our bodies, it can also be incredibly detrimental to our health and wellness overall. The Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast sorts through the BS and offers advice and actionable, tactile steps to support and build a better relationship to your amazing body through every stage of womanhood. It aims to break the cycle of keeping women in the dark about their extraordinary machines and revolutionize the way we move, eat, and live so that our daughters and our daughters' daughters look in the mirror and feel exactly what they are: fierce, beautiful, and capable of everything. The revolution starts here. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. Kinsey here, and as always, I am looking all sorts of forward to getting down and dirty in the trenches of women's health and wellness. Today's topic is all about a trend that has been blowing up, at least in my section of the algorithm, and that is the under-desk treadmill. It has been a hot topic for a minute now, all across the social medias, and even popping up in the mainstream health and wellness space. I personally am a part of a site called Quoted, where media organizations reach out to professionals in various fields for opinions and quotes on hot topics. Within the last week or so, there has been a serious uptick in my inbox around this very topic from all sorts of reputable sources. So we're talking about it. Desk treadmills. Should we? Shouldn't we? What is the dealio? Before we keep going, just if you're wondering why my voice is a little huskier today, I have managed to lose it slightly. So enjoy the sweet, sultry vocals of where we're at today. But back on topic, what are we even supposed to do with this under desk treadmill trend? If you've been around here for a minute, you know I've spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about how most trends in fitness and wellness space are often cash grabs and often at our expense, hoping that we will fail, so we will have to inevitably buy into the next quick fix solution. Enter any sort of 30-day challenge or detox or lose 10 pounds in 10 days, that kind of shenanigans. So my short answer for the underdesk treadmill or walking pad, doohickey, whatever we're calling it out there, surprisingly, I am so stinking here for it. Now, that's my short answer. You know, I'm gonna get sciencey on you, so buckle up, babies. One of the biggest correlations that has been found with our population's declining health crisis, because declining in health we are, aside from serious reformation that needs to be addressed in our food and healthcare systems, is the trend towards the majority of folks leading more and more sedentary lifestyles, aka doing a whole lot of sitting, whether it's at work, commuting, in our free time, all of it. One of my favorite terms for this is that we have switched to knowledge-based jobs rather than manual or womanual labor. I like this because it's true. A lot more of us are using our brain rather than carrying things around. Both are great, but for whatever reason, there's been a shift with computers, technology. A lot more of us find ourselves at a desk rather than out in a field. While this seems to be inevitable at this point, we have to consider the fact that this is not the way our bodies were meant to exist from an evolutionary standpoint. Studies have shown now, thousands of times over, the consequences of a sedentary lifestyle, and they go far beyond the surface level issues, which already suck, like skeletal and muscular misalignment and chronic pain. One such study, out of many, was from the Korean Journal of Family Medicine, and it was published, as I mentioned, as one of the many papers out there that you can find. PubMed's a cool resource to go just deep dive if you like to nerd out. And this was on that exact topic of a result of our universal decline in daily movement. And they stated, a sedentary lifestyle affects the human body through various mechanisms. Sedentary behavior reduces lipoprotein lipase activity. This is for for those of you like me who might not have known right away, an enzyme that helps us to get rid of circulating triglycerides in our blood. So if you ever get your annual physicals, you'll know that we don't really want a super high number of triglycerides in our blood. It also reduces muscle glucose, so the sugar we have within our muscles, protein transporter activities. And remember, protein in our body makes everything up from our muscles to our hormones to neurotransmitters like dopamine. And it also impairs lipid metabolism, so fats, and diminishes carbohydrate metabolism. And I'm going to cut in before I jump back. But from a metabolic standpoint, sedentary lifestyle is essentially destroying all of our metabolic functions, which makes a lot of sense with why the majority of humans are trending towards metabolic disorders. Right now, we're talking at least 1 in 3 adults, with numbers on the rise and some sources already claiming worse numbers. But that makes sense if a sedentary lifestyle affects all of those metabolic issues. The paper goes on to say, furthermore, sedentary lifestyle decrease cardiac output in systemic blood flow, so that's our heart health, while activating the sympathetic nervous system, which is taking us into a stress state. Sympathetic is that stressed versus parasympathetic, which is rest and digest, and ultimately reducing insulin sensitivity and vascular function. So again, pointing to how it affects dysregulated blood sugar, which, hello, this is a huge problem for those of us who are pregnant, working on not having gestational diabetes, those of us going through perimenopause and postmenopause once our estrogen levels have dropped and we have more just natural insulin resistance. And on top of that, it fudges with our heart health, which is yet another thing that, especially as women, we need to really be on top of as we move through perimenopause and beyond when we lose that protective effect of estrogen. It continues to say it also alters the insulin-like growth factor axis and the circulation levels of sex hormones, so progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, which elevates the incidence of hormone-related cancers. Increased sedentary time impairs the body's weight homeostat, affects weight gain, adiposity, that's fat storage, and elevated chronic inflammation caused by sedentary behavior are all risk factors for cancer. So not only does it lead to increased weight gain, which also correlates with why obesity and poor muscle quality has been on the rise in the last few decades, this all also leads to cancers. In a very heavy conclusion, the study wraps up with, sedentary behaviors have wide-ranging adverse impacts on the human body, including increased all-cause mortality, cardiovascular disease mortality, cancer risk, and risk of metabolic disorders such as diabetes, hypertension, and dyslipidemia, musculoskeletal disorders such as, I'm going to get this one wrong, arthralgia and osteoporosis, depression, more on this in a second, and cognitive impairment. Therefore, reducing sedentary behavior and increasing physical activity are both important to promote public health. Oof, duh. And like I said, it doesn't stop there. I have one more just thing to throw out into the ether. So we, as always, not to doom and gloom, just so that we are fully informed so we can make choices. Another paper released in February of 2024 by the Annals of General Psychology that ran a randomized trial to test, and that's the kind we like. Randomized trials are the best. Trial to test the link between depression and bipolar being associated with sedentary lifestyles, found that the study provides compelling evidence of a link between depression, bipolar, and excessive TV watching. Furthermore, it suggests that more movement in our day can serve as a genetic protective factor against depression. To mitigate the risk of developing depression, it is advisable to reduce sedentary activities, particularly television watching, and prioritize engaging in vigorous physical exercise. A lot of sciencey terms, but let's just put it this way. Not only did they find that, as they put it, compelling evidence, so really strong evidence, that links sedentary lifestyles with psychiatric issues, things like depression and bipolar, the cool wraparound is they also found a link that movement can actually create a protective factor in our genes that fights depression. So, yeah, the first part's a bummer, but the second part is like, wow, look at that. This This is where we could get real nerdy and real sciencey, but I am not qualified and would rather bring in an expert to blow our minds. But there's a VV cool takeaway from this concept of genetic expression. And that is that our health, to a large degree, is essentially a choose your own adventure. And it's never too late to start choosing where your story leads. Lifestyle changes we make affect us at a genetic level, our building blocks. They essentially send signals to certain genes to turn on and off, and the result affects our health either positively or negatively. Plus, and this is one last little to say, with screens, one thing to consider with sedentary lifestyle is that with screens being the primary source of entertainment and a lot of education these days, our kiddos are even more inactive than we are. They are starting out really young with sedentary day-to-days, and studies are projecting trends that they will end up actually having shorter lifespans than their parents. And pardon my French, but this is totally fudged. But as I mentioned, it is not all doom and gloom, my peeps. This is just information, because information is power. In fact, it's the opposite of doom and gloom, because this one has such an actionable step to it. You don't need to hit a billion steps to start turning your health around. A 10-year multi-university collab study of over 2,000 participants found that as little as 7,000 daily steps can change the tide of healthy aging. The paper found that participants taking at least 7,000 steps a day, compared with those taking fewer than 7,000 steps a day, had a 50 to 70% lower risk of mortality. And I don't know about you, but for 50 to 70% lower risk of all-cause mortality, I am willing to step up my step count. See what I did there? And that is, like I said, albeit a slightly longer than anticipated answer, but why I am exactly such a huge fan of under-desk treadmills and walking pads. No, it isn't quote unquote natural compared to walking. And no, you don't get the extra health benefits that come from walking outside. But hot dog, considering the average human gets 35,000 steps or less per day, we gotta do something. And unlike a regular treadmill or a Peloton or Nordic track or insert other fad cardio equipment we've all owned at some point that has eventually turned into a drying rack for our sports bras, the under desk treadmill has practical use. You don't have to set time aside for it. You just pop it on at a cruising speed of 2.5 or lower and slowly walk during your work days, while you're on Zoom calls, while you're writing emails, whatever, and just get after it. Before we close, I want to keep this one short, but I know there are a few folks who are going to be saying, I work out. Do I still need to get more steps in? Again, the short answer is absolutely yes. Exercise is deeply important. I'm not saying stop that, especially strength training, obviously, for our bone density, lean muscle, overall strength. But even if we are getting a solid 60 minutes of lifting in, if the rest of our day we find ourselves sitting, our body is still being forced into a sedentary lifestyle for most of our day. And unfortunately, all of those things we talked about at the beginning of this podcast still apply even when we're getting exercise. Samesies if you get all of your steps all at once. So like if you're like, I went on a 7,000 step hike. First of all, amazing. I love that. But our bodies do need to be moving throughout the day. So the goal is continuous movement throughout the day. And if you are not quite ready to shell out on one of these walking pads or don't have a desk that works with it, that's kind of my thing right now, is I'm trying to find, I don't have a desk. I'm an adult, but I don't have one of those things. So I'm trying to find a desk that I can put on top of the walking pad. If anyone has suggestions, please hit me up, kinsey@raiderfitacademy.com. But for whatever reason, if you're like not going to do it, other things that you can try to get more daily movement in, because at the end of the day, that's really what I want for us, would be 3 10-15 minute walks throughout your day. Ideally, if you have time after meals, that would be amazing, since walking post-eating is shown time and time again to help stabilize blood sugar. Also, setting a timer and every 60 minutes, get up and do 15 air squats or 60 seconds of kettlebell swings, or walk around and get 250 steps before sitting down. The point is, can we all of us start figuring out how to get more movement in throughout our day? and just be ready to have our mind grapes blown by watching significant health benefits spring up all over the place. We're talking about from mood to metabolism to body comp to blood work to sleep, all of it. Because as always, you and your body are so stinking worth it. Y'all, thank you so much for your time as always for this hot take episode. Unfortunately, we have no new reviews today, but thank you to everyone who has taken time in the past to leave them. And as always, if you have a moment to spare, reviews, 5-star ratings, sharing with a friend, these are all such huge, helpful ways to getting this podcast into the ears of women all over so they can start to take back their health and age with vitality the way we all deserve. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. Until next time, writers. Aroo!